death after ischemic heart disease and after cancer, in percentage. Those who admit to hospital or who die. And if you think about when you walk on the road in a traffic light, the police keep one board, how much death barrier, how much disabled barrier, how much people get it from. If you think it is more than a war, 3,000, 4,000, 7,000 barrier, about 2,000 or more, or 3,000 those dead. This is, we consider it in Saudi. So if you go, just notice, you notice some advertising during when you are busy waiting the light to be green, read this board, you'll find also the police advertise for these things. So that means trauma is a big issue. This is one. So it is the third cause of death after ischemic heart disease and cancer. Number two, if in a car, three people, and one death, the other two, they will be disabled. They will get either head injury, so they will not die, but they are disabled, or fracture, or paralysis, whatever. So depend on how much the accident give you. So this disability causing problem to the family of the patient and to the country itself. And remember the trauma when it happened from age of 1 year to 35 years. This is the age called the productive age for any country. So this is a big problem. If this age group getting trauma and getting disabled or dead, there is a loss for the country. Okay? I have so, remember 7% of the budget for the health service going on trauma patient. 7%, which is a big percentage. That means care take too much money to spend for these trauma. Of course, we said type of a trauma. Either fall, either burn, either blast. And remember, these things, it is very serious. If there is 7% of the budget of the health service going to those trauma, that means it is a very big cause of trauma. Okay? Now, I hope it will work now. We can talk about abdominal trauma. Remember the management of a patient with a trauma. It is very difficult to manage the patient, especially when he became disabled. You need a lot of things. Family support, psychotic, especially if he is young, and health service. He get bedsore, he get sick, he get infection, and so many things. So a trauma patient is really cost effectiveness for the country and for the family. Unfortunately, these things modern and doesn't work. What is the objective regarding the abdominal trauma? Anybody of this lecture, what is the objective of it? We are talking about specific abdominal trauma. Hmm? Look at these two cars. We don't brought this photo just to show, but these things mean a lot. how do we prevent or initiate reduction of road traffic accidents? This is the question. How do you initiate reducing the road traffic accident? The primary one, how do we reduce it? Primary one, we have to make a good road. If the road not good, then you will get. If there is a rain, you should drive slow. If there is a dust, you drive slow. But unfortunately, many people, they don't follow this rule. Number two, if there is a sign, we have to follow the sign. We don't go opposite the sign. If there is a sign of speed, 120, don't drive 240, 120. If there is 80, there is 80. Okay? The other thing, we have to make restriction on the road, like punishment. As far nowadays, we have Sahir doing these things. You drive as much you can. In the end of 5 days, they will give you notice that you have high speed and you have to pay. Okay? Other thing, restriction. You have to respect the people who walk on pedestrian on the road. Third thing, you have to be friendly driving. Somebody will come and say, slow, let him go. Don't be, when you see him coming, you give him more hard time. So this is lead to accident. In these cases, this is the primary thing we have to follow. Other thing, oh my God, there's another problem. Okay. The other thing, the secondary thing, we have to be to prevent these things by when you drive, check your car brake, check tire, check water. You don't drive, you said my car is new, it's okay, perfect, you just switch on and you go. Just check these very important three things. The other thing, the belt will reduce the trauma. So you have to do the tie your belt, very important. Other thing, the third stage or the tertiary area, the hospital services, hospital care. When you get in an accident, you should be, there is ER physician, nurses trained, hospital well equipped. So priority, golden hours, when the patient came and resuscitation done perfect. Okay? So these are three things to reduce the road traffic accident. If you follow these three basic primary things, then you will be okay. So you reduce the mortality. Does it go? Where is that now?
7 months. هو شغال على اللابتوب.
لابتوب. Okay. The objective. Objective of this lecture, number one, we have to talk about this topic, objective, type of abdominal trauma, and anatomical region. Then this is the most important in our lecture, hospital care and diagnosis, or evaluation of the patient, which is the most important. If we don't do this thing, then we will lose our patient, or in the end, he will be disabled. Then we'll talk about specific organ trauma. Remember, in abdominal trauma, there is the most important liver, spleen, bowel injury, stomach, pancreas, duodenum, and retroperitoneal structure, like kidney, like other part of the colon, and your genital system, uterus, urinary bladder, and so on. But we are going to talk, because this is very lengthy and big topic, I will talk only about liver and spleen. The rest you will read them from the book. Okay. The objective number one, to describe the anatomical region of the abdomen. If you don't know the anatomical region, which is divided to 9, or if you come to the peritoneum division, then you will not know what organ injured. If you divide to 9, on the right abdomen, you know there is a liver, there is a gallbladder, there is duodenum, so many things. So you have to know in this lecture. Then you have to discuss the difference in injury pattern between blunt and venturating. Venturating clear to you, either stab or gunshot wound or blast, whatever there. But blunt, you have to think about it and diagnose it. The other thing, identify the sign and suggested retroperitoneal, intraperitoneal, and pelvic. So there is a clinical sign with the patient. Intraperitoneal is very easy clinical. You find the patient tender, abdominal pain, and so on. But retroperitoneal is very difficult to diagnose because you can't see or feel the structure. Also, pelvic, it is covered by the pelvis, so you can't do that. So the reason is you have to think about this. outline the diagnostic therapeutic process specific to the abdominal trauma. So you, at that time after resuscitation, you think about the diagnostic, what is the diagnosis, and what is the procedure you are going to do for this patient. The other thing, the majority of abdominal trauma, your injury are due to blunt abdominal trauma, as you said, secondary to high speed automobile, whatever, automobile, car, train, whatever, airplane, or whatever there. The failure to manage the abdominal injury accounts for majority of preventable death following multiple injuries. If you don't resuscitate your patient, you may lose your patient. And this is the disaster. If the patient comes to you in the emergency room and you don't manage him properly, then you lose your patient. This is disaster. You have a medical service, you spend a lot of money on it, but you don't do perfect work. So this is the and happening. In the wrong time, wrong place. Suppose accident happened on this road and there is a board, hospital so and so, and this hospital not equipped for trauma patient, they will waste the time and the patient will die either after resuscitation, what sort of resuscitation, people and experience, and so on. So always think, where will you go if you have traffic accident, or you have fall, or you have injury. The major hospital in Riyadh, two hospitals actually, they receive emergency. Riyadh Central and National Guard. These are the well-equipped hospital in trauma. The other hospital, they are secondary to that. The private hospital, most of the time, they don't know how to manage the patient properly. So always think what you go, what you will do, and so on. The primary management of abdominal trauma is determined that intra-abdominal injury exists and operative intervention is required. When the patient come to you walking through the door of emergency, walking, conscious, but he told you, I have trauma, I have accident, or I have fall from height. Don't presume he's walking, he's okay. Maybe he's walking, still not drop his blood pressure. He may be breathing slowly, he has small injury. After 1 hour, you'll find him collapsing on the bed or there. So any patient would come with a trauma, examine him from head to toe, and till you prove otherwise, there is no injury. Okay, many patients, they come, maybe they have death in the car, and unfortunately, they are worried about the other, they forget about themselves. After 2 hours, you find the second one collapse in the emergency, who was a company or whatever there. So you have to presume, and you presume that he has an injury, and treat him as a patient. Don't say that he come and walk in, he is perfect. So examine him thoroughly, give him the management, whatever you feel, okay? What type of abdominal trauma? These are the major we are facing. Blunt abdominal trauma, ventilated, and sometimes they are combined. How they come combined? Patient drive, person drive, he will get blunt abdominal, chest, abdomen from wheel drive, from the steering wheel, but the seat may ventilate, so in the either in the abdomen, either in the perineum, so you will have combined either blunt with ventilating, or one of them will be there. Recognition of the mechanism, if you ask later on in secondary survey, recognition of the mechanism, what happened in the injury, it helps you in diagnosis and treatment. So recognition of mechanism of injury, whether it is ventilated or non-ventilated, is a great importance for treatment and diagnosis and workup therapy. So this is very important. If the patient conscious until you got the history, then you will know what you go next procedure. Second thing, you have to remember that spleen, liver, kidney, they are a solid organ and they are the maximum get injury. Even the liver and spleen are protected by the chest, but still they are the maximally injured. What about the anatomical region of the abdomen? If you know these things, then you have no problems. One, the peritoneum. Remember, the peritoneum, there is intrathoracic abdomen and through abdomen, which you see and which you examine, between the pelvis and lower cage. This is the through abdomen. The other thing, intrathoracic, which is below the thoracic cage, which is the liver and spleen, the stomach, pancreas, all around there. Retroperitoneal abdomen, which is behind the peritoneum, and there is kidney, there is pancreas, there is part of the duodenum, part of the colon, is there. And pelvic abdomen, which is, you know, the urogenital system, and the female genital system will be there. The most difficult one, the last two, how to diagnose them clinically. It is difficult to diagnose. You have to investigate. Unless there is a fractured pelvis, you presume there is a bladder injury, you presume there is a trine injury, you presume small bowel injury, and so on. And these things after investigation. Now, this is the hospital care. This is the most golden hours to manage your patient. If you don't do this principle of management, you will lose your patient. Let the patient disabled, but get him alive. Your primary care, if you see what is initial management, this is, they call it a primary survey. We have two surveys in management of emergency. Always in trauma, you will have more than one system affected. If the airway affected, and you said, oh, I am abdominal surgeon, I'll manage the abdomen, I'm not caring about respiratory. By the time, you know, oh yes, I did very good management for abdomen, but the patient dead. Because you don't respirate, you don't manage the proper patient. First priority, A, B, C, D, E. This is the principle of any trauma. Even if you are specialized in the abdominal surgery, you don't go for abdomen straightforward. You have to manage the airway, you have to manage circulation, then you later on you come to your specialty. So the primary survey, which is include the initial management. The initial management in primary survey, the resuscitation and managed priority of patient with major abdominal trauma, these A, B, C, D, E. If you know these things, and you have done ATLS, that's why the American College of Surgeons produced this program, which you call it Advanced Trauma Life Support. This is the best all over the world. Even you can't be registered in Saudi Council unless you have this course. So it is very important for any physician, regarding what is his specialty, he have to do it. Okay? So ABCD is the most important management for any trauma when it comes to you. A stands for airway, so that means we care about the airway. Remember, 15 minutes, if you don't manage the airway, the patient gets hypoxia, then get brain anoxia, then you get brain damage. So this is very fast to care. So airway, then breathing. If the patient has trauma on his chest and one side doesn't work, so you have to auscultate. If there is a breathing sound, fair enough, very good. If there is absent sound, chest tube. Don't wait for x-ray. No waiting, clinically. Just pass the chest tube and relieve the whether blood or air, whatever. C, circulation. Actually, it is a working team in ER. There is a consultant or senior registrar, resident, nurses. Teamwork can't be done by one. Patient laying on the table, nurses looking for circulation. She will open the vein, take a blood sample for CBC, ureal fluid, cross-matching, and inserting IV. The surgeon or the physician or ER, he caring about the patient airway. So he looked to the airway. If the patient talk to you, he's breathing. If he doesn't talk to you, keep your hand. There is air is coming, that's fine. You keep mask. No air, open the mouth, see, maybe teeth inside, maybe debris, maybe iron, whatever going in the mouth. So check the airway. You can beat both the airway, the first step, and put oxygen, and look at that one. If patient need intubation, intubate him, join him to a ventilator, and that's it. Then after you control the airway, go to the breathing. Your colleague will auscultate. The other team of your colleague auscultate the chest. If there is absent sound on one side, that means there is hemothorax or pneumothorax or whatever there, he will pass chest tube immediately. No question of that. After when you finish ABC, which is, this is, they call it primary survey. Now you control the airway, you put IV line, now your patient under control. So now you are relaxed. This is primary survey. Then D for disability, maybe a neurological examination. You know the Glasgow Coma Scale?
Yeah.
Now that one, you could do that one. Patient alert, respond to speak, respond to beneficial stimuli, the five P. Remember the five P? So this D for disability or neurological exam. Exposure, this is done by the nurse. If you see, ladies, they wear necklace, but unfortunately in ER, she wears scissor, she tie. They have a big scissor in her neck, like a stethoscope on your neck, so she will cut the cloth from up, down, to see. Maybe there is no limb, limb is cut, maybe there is a bleeding point, maybe anything. Maybe you find iron bar inside, so when you cut the cloth, you will find anything. So remove all the cloth, exposure. This is very important. These are very important. If you understand this thing, you will save 90% of your patient from either he will be alive or a little bit with other problems. So this is very important. After you finish ABCD, you will pass nasogastric tube, this is in secondary survey, and Foley's catheter. But you don't pass them just like that. There is a bleeding from the nose or from the mouth, don't pass nasogastric tube. Maybe there is basal skull fracture, you pass the tube, it will go to the brain. So there is bleeding from the nose, bleeding from the mouth, you don't pass now. If you examine the perineum and there is hematoma or bleeding through the urethra, you don't pass for its catheter. If it's clear to you, you pass both of them. Now, secondary sulfate, when you relaxed, you put tube, IV, now you sit. Now, time for a break. What do you call it? Secondary sulfate. Take a proper history. If the patient's speaking, talk to him. He will tell you. Of course, most of the patients, if they are stabbed or gunshot one, they will tell you a lot. Because they don't want to tell the truth, tell the proof otherwise. But if road traffic accident, they will tell you. If the patient doesn't speak, either he's a companion with him, you take the history from, or the ambulance people, who brought him, where did you find him, how do you find him, is he driver, is he passenger, is he road, walking on the road, and so on. So, and you can differentiate between blunt abdominal trauma and ventricular. Is he working in a high building and fall down, and so on. So you look for what is the history from head to toe in secondary sulfate. Then, now you decide to examine the patient. The first thing is the general physical examination. Now you are relaxed, airway control, circulation control, no problem. It takes you 15 minutes total to do secondary sulfate. Doesn't mean you sit and go take sandwich and cup of tea. No. Maybe he's bleeding also, you will lose him. So take a brief examination, brief history, then when you do general examination, then examine the abdomen. We concentrate on them, but this is because of the lecture. But we concentrate in the ER, which system affected. If the chest is affected, we go on the chest. If the abdomen is affected, we'll go on the musculoskeletal, we'll go for the system, which is more, we think that's affected. But the two systems in the body is the abdomen and the chest, they are the most affected, and those who kill can kill the patient. Fracture doesn't kill the patient, okay? Spinal doesn't kill the patient, but abdomen and chest, they can't kill the patient. So these are the two systems, which is very, very, very important. Okay, if we examine the abdomen, you do inspection, palpation, percussion, auscultation. The most important, and always forgetting, rectal examination and vaginal exam. Examine the perineum. Maybe there is iron bar, maybe there is bleeding, maybe so. Most of the people, they think they are not important, but they are a part of abdominal examination. Now, you have to do, after that relaxation, primary, secondary surface, you have to decide to do not all these investigations. You have to decide according to the patient's status which investigation to do. If I will do all these things, remain 3 hours in the ER, my patient will die. I will select investigation suitable on condition of my patient. The blood test, this is compulsory. CBC, your electrode, cross-matching, these are three things you must do for any trauma patient. No question. Radiology, you have to choose. If it's a chest, you do chest. If it's abdomen, you may do abdomen, you may not do. So choose accordingly. Then peritoneal lavage. What is peritoneal lavage or DBL? This is very important. Accuracy 98% when you do it. We pass nasogastric tube, Foley's catheter, 2 centimeters below the umbilicus, there is a set for DBL, include needle, include catheter. So we insert the needle. Under local anesthesia, we give local anesthesia, small incision, we insert the needle. And if a blood coming through the needle, then it is positive. Take the patient to theta for surgery. Immediately. Doesn't come blood, insert 1 liter of normal saline in the abdomen, then bring it back, second. If came red, bloody, take the patient to theta. No question. Negative, look for something else, either injury in the chest, in urology. So abdomen, at least there is no trauma there. Of course, for last 5 years, we are reducing not to do it. Because we have other facility, and now each hospital, last year you don't have this one, but this year you have it because you have a good budget. Same in health services, they have good, but they buy ultrasound, they buy CT scan, they can do these things. In previous time, if you request for ultrasound, or CT scan, take hours, they will give it to you. Now you can do it in an emergency room, you can do it quickly, so there is a lot of other facility. But in case of patient with shock, you must do it. There is no time to do CT scan. Ultrasound, you can't do it. Because now most of the ER physicians, they are expert on ultrasound, that is portable, moving. So So you can do it just 2 seconds. There is a fluid in the peritoneal cavity. It must be thick. You can see the density. If the density is thick, that means it is blood. So take the patient to theater without doing anything. So if the patient there, if the patient is stable, patient blood pressure okay, but you think there is an injury in the abdomen, you can do ultrasound and CT scan. Non-stable, you do this one. Stable, you do ultrasound and CT scan. So this is the how do you choose your investigation. Peritonoscopy or diagnostic laparoscopy, this one can be done late when you admit the patient for observation. You think that the patient doesn't need surgery at all. So you admit him in the hospital. Then suddenly after 24 hours, the patient, nurses call the resident, the patient is collapsed. Hypotensive, hemoglobin drops. So you take your patient to theater, look in the scope. If there is an injury, either deal with it laparoscopically or deal with abdomen, depend on your experience. So this one can be done in the floor when the patient's stable, then deuterated later on in the floor after 24 to 48 hours. Okay, what is the indication? What is laparotomy? Anybody knows what is laparotomy?
Open and explore.
Abdominal exploration. So any opening in the abdomen called laparotomy. Okay? But not the butcher that is laparotomy. Okay? It is considered any opening of abdomen, whether by through knife or by bocha, it can be also called laparotomy. So what is the indication for laparotomy? One, sign of peritoneal injury. You find rigidity, tenderness, and so on, clinical sign of peritoneal irritation, number one. Number two, unexplained shock. You give patient fluid, you give him blood, but still your patient is shocked. And abdominal distended. That means the patient is bleeding. The other thing, effaceration of viscous. You find bowel is coming out. There is no question after a stab wound. You don't wait. Take the patient to theater. No need for any investigation. Take him and finish with him. Because bowel is already out. Must be there is some injury. Positive diagnostic peritoneal injury. When you do peritoneal, positive blood, take him to theater. No question to it. Determine finding during routine follow-up. This is another one when you admit the patient and 24-hour basis. Then the patient got shock or drop hemoglobin, you can take him, but that's after 24 hours. You put the patient under observation. So these are up to date, these are no wait. You take them from ER to OR. Now, if we talk about specific organ trauma, I have mentioned these are the most two important in abdomen, but you have to read about small bowel, large bowel, pancreas, duodenum, urogenital system. These are part of the abdomen or specific organ in the abdomen. So we'll talk about these two because they are the most important to us and we are facing problem. Look at this car. I just brought this picture just to show you dirty car. These are very dangerous on the road. They are very dangerous. They are driving and you find a lot of problem. It may stop on the road, car hit, another car hit, and you can see in the road 5-6 car in one because these car moving on the road, which they are very old. Should be specific years to be out of the road. But unfortunately, in our country, they leave them, everybody, whatever you drive, you go ahead. But these are very dangerous for the family who is driving it, and those people who is on the road. So they are dangerous for the people and dangerous for the outside. Now, the liver is the largest, as far everybody knows, the largest solid organ in the abdominal cavity, and continue the most commonly injured organ in all patients with abdominal trauma. Remember, we talk about blunt and ventilated. 35 to 45 in blunt trauma. This is a big percentage. Okay, it is variable in the book, but this is the best percentage I could find, the best for that. Trauma 40% in stab wound become stab on the right side, and 30% in gunshot wound. So this is a major percentage in the liver because, as we said, it is the largest solid organ in the body. Hepatic injury result from direct blow, when these are in boxing or fighting, or compression between the lower ribs or right side and the spine or sharing at fixed point, secondary to accelerate. Remember, the liver has its own attachment. If you are in high speed, it may share and mean open this attachment. Any shotgun wound, any ventilating shotgun or stab, or below the right nipple on right upper quadrant, also can cause hepatic injury. Remember, the liver up to 15 intercostal space. If that below the 5, we presume the liver was injured, whether by trauma, blunt trauma, or by stab, or by gunshot. And we have seen that. Okay? So the liver, even if it is protected by rib cage, can be injured. What is the clinical manifestation? Remember, one very important, usually the patient when they come to emergency, it is to see how much action and movement of the people when they get trauma patient. Diagnosis of hepatic injury is often made at laboratory in patient presenting with ventilating injury requiring a medicine. If the patient comes with a stab or gunshot wound, there is no delay. For the patient, you take the patient to theater. Okay? Even if his blood pressure, okay, normal, everything. Then when you do exploration, you might find the liver also injured. But you don't discover it because you don't do any investigation. You don't do ultrasound, you don't do CT, you don't do any other investigation, you don't do DBL. Ventilating injury, whether a stab or gunshot, no wait, take the patient to theater. So you will find most of these liver injury, you find them during laparotomy. The other thing, all those sustaining blunt trauma who remain in shock or presenting with abdominal rigidity. Suppose a patient came to you on the emergency. You examine him, abdomen is rigid, tender, and you decide abdominal distended and patient, your patient shock. There is no delay to do CT scan, no delay to do ultrasound. I mean, it's to take it. When you open, you may find liver injury. You find splenic injury, you find bowel injury. So that means the liver trauma mostly discovered during surgery. But in a stable patient, it's different. And we will come to it. How do we manage the patient with a stable, with the liver injury? So we do a different, we have mentioned the investigation. We can have like different tests are necessary in decision-making process to determine whether or not laparotomy is necessary. This is in a stable patient. When the patient is stable, you have to decide to do investigation. If you think that you will go for laparotomy, okay. If you look for conservative management, you can, okay, and we will see. What are the diagnostic parental effect? This is done extremely, as I said, 98% is accuracy, which is a reliable test. Well, this one done in a patient in shock with abdominal distension. So this is very important. We will never know if the liver injured or something injured inside. So this patient, CT scan, abdomen, I have mentioned it to you, diagnosis intraoperative injury in a stable patient after blunt trauma or after, that means stop, no question to do CT scan, to do ultrasound, immediately theta. We talk about blunt trauma, this one, in a patient stable, you do CT scan, do ultrasound, then observe. If there is, depend on grading, we come now after a few minutes, why we will wait for conservative. So a CT scan done for stable patient. Now look at this CT scan. This rib is a broken head. This is a shotgun bullet. He was hit below the costal margin. You see, under the fifth costal space, the bullet come and fracture the rib, injure the lung, and end up in the liver. This is hemothorax, blood from the chest, and this is in the chest, it's not in the abdomen, and this is the injury, which is a grade 3 injury in there. This type of patient is stable, yeah. I will treat conservative. But if I open him for other reason or patient in shock, I will deal with this stage 3. I will try to manage this stage 3. We'll come to the management of stage 3 in the coming few slides. So if the patient is stable, I will leave him under conservative. I may pass just a tube to relieve the chest problems, but regarding the liver, I will wait and see. Unless the patient after 24 hours got shock or other problem, then I can take and manage. Remember, patient sustaining significant right lower thoracic, right upper quadrant, epigastric, should be suspected have suffered hepatic injury. Clinical assessment, abdominal paracentesis, they are the most important. If the patient rigid, take the patient. If you do DBL, take the patient, of course. Now, treatment. When patient to arrive to ER, for any patient, whether abdominal, as we said, you have to go with this one. This is the primary management of any trauma, whether burn, lost, whether road traffic accident, we do these things. This is the primary management. What is non-operative approach to the liver injury? This is a good subject. We treat the patient sometimes conservatively. As I've said to you, that's stage three. If I open, I will deal with it. If I patient stable, I will treat it conservatively. So the hepatic injury diagnosed by CT in a stable patient is now non-operative approach to practice in many centers. And we do practice. But there is certain criteria. It's not every patient go on this non-operative. So the, what is the criteria of management in CT scan? Number one, simple hepatic laceration or intrahepatic hematoma. No evidence of active bleeding. Okay. Intraperitoneal loss, less, is not more than 250, less than 250. Absence of other intraperitoneal injury requires surgery. Patient came with a trauma, he's in shock, he's not in shock, but I know there is a perforation of the bowel. Okay? So I will go do laparotomy. If I go for laparotomy, I will deal also with the liver, even if it's stage one or two or three, but in absence of that. If the abscess, I will treat conservative. If there is, I will deal. So this is the indication for non-operative procedure for hepatic injury. Operative approach, where we operate on the patient with liver injury, resistant hypotension in spite of giving IV fluid of blood. Despite adequate phylum replacement, suggesting ongoing blood loss, mandate immediate operative procedure. This is basic thing. Okay, you give blood, you give fluid, but still your patient in shock, you take him to OR, no question. Injury classification. This classification, we do it based on operative finding. When you open the patient, you will know, is it stage one, two, three, four, five, okay? Or on CT scan, you will know what stage these are. So basically, the grading of the liver injury, you can be on laparotomy grade them, or on CT scan grading. So this is depend on that one. Now, grade one, simple injury, non-bleeding. If I didn't abandon the patient for any reason, I will leave it alone. Stage two, simple injury managed by superficial suturing if I open the patient. If I don't, I will treat it alone. Grade three, which you saw that one in the bullet, now it is a major injury. But if there is no bleeding, I will treat conservative if there is no other injury. Otherwise, if I open the patient, I will deal with it. So grade three, major intrabrachial injury with active bleeding but not requiring stent flow closure. See, foramen of Winslow, if you think of anatomy, you pass your finger, clamp the blood vessel and duct. We use vascular clamp, but not more than 45 minutes, otherwise you cause ischemia to the liver, and then you deal with the injury. Open the liver, ligate, we call it fracturing, finger fracturing. We fracture the liver, we make it wide, we tie ligate in the blood vessels, ducts, then we put omentum or Cetirizine, then we close the liver again. This is in stage three in this management of this. Okay, grade four, extensive intrabrachial injury with major active bleeding requiring flow closure for him. This one you have to open the patient. You don't wait. Patient will lose blood in peritoneum. So you want a grade five, if he is lucky, if he is lucky, otherwise he will die in the spot of the RTA or trauma. Because venous injury, there is a portal vein injury, and there is a retrohepatic cavern, or main hepatic. So inferior fornicator will injure, so bleeding too massive, or the main hepatic vein will avulse. So rarely the patient arrives to emergency and he is alive. If he is lucky, in good center, maybe, and arrive on the spot, he can be saved. Because the surgery for this one, you have to do abdominal thoracic, you have to control the superior fornicator, up in the abdominal inferior fornicator, like liver transplant. Then you in fact, you are transplanting the liver again. So you repair the inferior fornicator cava, repair the hepatic vein, then maybe he will be alive. If he is lucky, came to a heart, and the dual diagnosis is correct. This is very rare, stage five, they will be grading blood. Okay. You see, all patient going for laparotomy should be midline, because you don't know where is the injury. You go from the midline. Usually we make small incision around the umbilicus. If we feel the injury from up, we extend up. If we feel the injury is down, we extend down. If we don't feel, find anything, we open the abdomen like book. Because your aim is to save life, is not to do cosmetic. Okay? Management, remember, grade one and two, simple injury management by any of those. Suture, this if you open the patient. But usually we open them, we leave them conservative, the patient still. Grade three may or may not under conservative, depending if you open. And the grade five, four and five, these are a surgical. The other technique, advanced technique in How do we do? These are the extensive, we open the patient. These are extensive hepatotherapy. I mean repairing the liver, there is an injury. Number two, hepatotomy with selective vascular ligation. You have to choose and open and ligate the blood vessel. Omental back, if you are not stable, the patient will just keep omentum and close it. If you find not, I mean, no blood vessel you see, but still bleeding from the surface, you could put the omentum in between. Dissection, debridement with selective vascular ligation. You can debride the liver if there is a lot of injury, and you can do left lobectomy, right lobectomy, and so on. Dissectional, which is, and selective hepatic artery and ligation. You can tie the left or right, no problem, the liver will regenerate. And if you are in periphery and you are a good surgeon, you don't know how to deal with the liver, just back the patient with gauze and back the abdomen and call somebody in a big center that I am sending this patient on ventilator, coming to you, deal with the liver. Pre-backing, pre-hepatic backing. So we back the patient. If I am not experienced in the liver surgery, and I will send him to you, a center where they can deal. And I give him blood, fluid, and I inform the surgeon there that this patient has a liver injury. This is happening on the road. If you are traveling from Riyadh to other city and accident there, there is a small hospital. If you face a good surgeon who doesn't know how to deal with the liver, the best thing, he will back the injury and send you by ambulance to a big center. And we have facing this one. In a year, at least you will have one patient or two patients. In a year, they call you at midnight that we sent in you some patient, we are backing him, we're not able to deal with it. When you go there, he immediately go to theater, you open him, remove the back, see what type of injury he has, and usually grade 3, grade 4, grade 3 to grade 4 injury. About the grade 5, patient will die on the spot. Okay, look at this one, I'll show you this one. This is the fracture. Suppose the injury, this is grade 3. The injury is small, I will open the liver. Open the liver, start ligating the blood vessel and ducts. When I ligate them and stop the bleeding, I will put omentum in between. I put omentum, then I suture. Or I'll put surgicide. You hear about the bullies, omentum is the bullies of the abdomen, because we mobilize it anywhere we want, we use it for anything you want. It go to infection by itself. When there is infection, it will go and attack and close it. So we omentum is very, very important to the patient or any person. So we utilize it, we put it in between, or we put surgicide, then we close it to make backing, to stop small vessels which we couldn't ligate. Now we have a lot of type of diathermy, a lot of resectional machines, we can resect without bleeding, but if you look about 15, 20 years back, you don't have these facilities, but now at least you have a lot of facility to stop bleeding. Now, no operation without complication. You don't think that you are a perfect person. If you deal that one, you save life of patient, maybe there is recurrent bleeding, this one complication. Hematopedia, bleeding in the biliary tree, you'll find the patient coming with melena. Perihepatic abscess, you remember the machine knife, they are dirty, they make one abscess, and so on. Biliary fistula, if the patient can happen. Intrahepatic hematoma, which can be solved. And remember, the liver, as we said, it is partly in the chest side, so you may get pulmonary complication. So bronchiectasis, count that. And the other thing, remember, liver coagulation factor is manufactured. If the liver injured, coagulability, it will be affected. Patient may end up in DIC, may end up with blood transfusion, and hypoglycemia, another complication. And these are which can cause to mortality patient. Okay, splenic trauma, they are the same. Spleen is also, we have 10 minutes, I have to be fast. Spleen, I get the same thing, but they are on the left side. And the spleen more mobile than the liver. So spleen always escape sometime out of the injury. So maybe hit there, escape a little bit, but it's not as much. So it is remain the most commonly injured organ in the patient who have suffered left side trauma. The management is they are the same. But there is one very important about spleen. Spleen is very important organ, more than any other thing, especially in amyological system in the young, from 8 years to 18 years. It's very important because of the amenorrheagical factor, as it is what as amenorrheagical factor for amenology, especially from age to 18. This one spleen should be safe. And the other thing is working as electroendothelial filter. This number RBC, other dead platelets, all filter through the spleen. So these are two factories, make all the surgeons to think about to save spleen. So they will have to find option to left to remove spleen, unless you have no choice. Okay? And remember, condition code, overwhelming postoperative sepsis. These are in the, especially in the great children less than 2 years. They are always put them antibiotic up to age of 18. So to prevent this problem to happen. So conservative spleen, how do we conserve spleen? By this method. Spleen is common in the, okay, these are the same only, same. And remember also, if you are doing stomach on stomach surgery or pancreas, you get injured. 2% of the people can injure and you do splenectomy because of spleen disease or anything. But nowadays the surgeon more careful. We are doing mostly laparoscopic and so on. Okay, grading of splenic injury. What are the grading? They are 5 grades, the same the liver. There will be subcapsular hematoma, subsegmental or parenchymal injury, grade 3 segmental or distalizing, grade 4 bowler disruption, one bowler is gone, and the worst thing is shatter or distalized spleen. This one you can see. Spleen will be above. I have found the spleen in the chest. Ruptured diaphragm, I found spleen already good splenectomy, better than the surgery. Trauma and 20 ruptured chest there, just will I get the medical and finish splenectomy because spleen already gone. But what we do in the eye, we take a piece, we re-implant it in the omentum in a hope that it will grow up. We don't leave the anybody without it. If the spleen okay, I take a piece of spleen and re-implant it in peritoneum. So it will be okay. It may help in the future and may be vascularized. Okay, so it's grade 5, which is called shatter spleen, rarely to say. The same management, you do history, clinical examination, and radiological. The only difference, you could do angiography from those. Angiography can be diagnostic and therapeutic. If the bleeding from one bowler, stage 4, I could do umbilectomy through the femoral, reach that blood vessel, I block that vessel, and maybe I will save spleen. So angiography, you can do it, but you need a good expert radiologist. Now look at this CT scan. This is laceration, which is a grade 1. Okay? This is the, but the only thing you could notice, spleen is very big. So this is disease spleen, so the patient was lucky not to bleed too much. So we treat this patient cancer. Now the other one, this is a hematoma, stage 3. We treat them conservative. So these are, again, treated by conservative way. What is the initial management? The same A, B, C, D for anything, but the most important, non-operative approach. What are the non-operative approach? Number one, while we practice in pediatric and also in surgery, we practice that. When the patient hemodynamic is stable, we don't operate. We do conservative management. Number two, those patients without peritoneal finding any time. There is no rigidity, no tenderness, slight tender on the right side, we leave them alone. So we don't operate. Those didn't require greater than 2 units of blood. So we don't give, if there is greater than 2, then we think about operation. But there is contraindication for splenic salvage. That is the opposite the other way. So we have no time, but it is contraindication. The patient has brought up to hypotension. You give blood, you give fluid, but still the patient doesn't raise up. That means the patient bleeding, go and remove the bleeding. Your aim is to save life. Number two, undue delay and dissipation, attempted repair of spleen. You try to repair spleen, but the patient going in shock during anesthesia, so anesthetic on your head, and the patient couldn't stop bleeding, do splenectomy and get rid of it to save his life. Third thing, the patient has other severe injury. Suppose he has injury liver, injury bowel, injury spleen. There is no delay. You have to deal with it. You remove the spleen, you repair the liver, repair the bowel, whatever, because the patient will die on the table. So if these are the contraindications to delay or save the spleen. Operative progress. Of course, you operate the approach, either you do sublinectomy or sublinography. Okay, I'm finished. Thank you. Okay, the complications is here. And that's, remember when you go home,